Thank you, choir. All right, today we're going to start a series of three messages on God's purpose for the family. This little book is in great part responsible for this. And again, 2 weeks from today when we bring the final message, anybody that still has children at home, even if they're teenagers, we're going to make a copy of this available to you at no charge. And if we have some left over, I think we've ordered about 40 or something like that, and you say, well, but I have grandchildren or whatever, I'd like one too, we'll make it available to you as well. I think you can tell from the size of the book that it's not going to take you 2 weeks to finish this book unless you're only reading a couple pages a day. It's not hard reading, but the message of it is hard hitting. And if there's two things that, as church leadership, we've become very aware of, and I think Awana, because of their interest in these things, are making people aware of these things. A couple of things have really hit home in the last 3 or 4 years. And one of them, and many of you already know this, is the importance of children's ministries. Because you may hear some statistics based on different studies that may vary by 10 or 15%. But I can tell you this much, the overwhelming evidence of all the research that's ever been done on this matter is that at least 75% of all people who get saved before age 20. And actually, a very, very high percent that get saved before age 12 or 13. So we cannot underestimate the importance of children's ministries. And then the other emphasis that I'm glad to see the Lord bringing back, and which is really the message of this book and of these messages, is of the family worship to be brought back into the family, because this should be the cornerstone of our children's spiritual growth and instruction, not church, not Sunday school. These are things that are supplementary and that hopefully will help and encourage. But we live in a culture today where we want to farm everything out. We want somebody to teach our children hockey, and we want somebody else to teach them piano, and we want somebody else to teach them about Jesus. And as long as we've got them in church and Sunday school on a regular basis and drop them off or something, we think we're okay. And I'm here to tell you we're not. And so That is the message God has laid on my heart, and I've been waiting for some time to bring it, and we have this slot here between Easter and Mother's Day, and so the Lord's laid it on my heart, and I hope that we will take these messages to heart, that they won't just be three messages that we hear on three consecutive Sundays, and then, you know, later on we say, do you remember a couple years ago Pastor Eby said this, but that we'll take the little book, and we'll actually begin to take some measures in our homes. Because just because we're believers and just because we're in church a lot and we're active in a lot of activities, that doesn't mean Jesus is really the center of the home. And it doesn't really mean that our activities in our home are really centered around this thing, or that a lot of spiritual instruction or prayer as a family or Bible reading are really taking place in the home. And there is nothing that can take the place of that. There is nothing. All of the Sunday schools our children attend in 20 years put together cannot equal the power of a family getting together and praying together two or three times a week. Just that one thing. I firmly believe that. And this is another reason why our homes maybe are deteriorating like they are, because everything is farmed out and everything is an activity at another place and we go there. But it's not really in the home. We figure, well, as long as I hold the belief in my heart, that's enough. No, that's not enough. And we're going to prove it by Scripture. In fact, this brother here was a minister, pastor of a church, and all of a sudden God began to deal with him. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit begin to just nudge you a little bit with some questions, you know, and won't quite leave you alone? He's not really accusing you or anything, but he's reminding you of some things. And this is what happened to this brother. And his name is Dr. Rob Reinow. And so he has made the changes in his life. And so we just want to encourage you. We're not here to put a guilt trip on anybody, and we certainly understand the pressures of our culture and schedule and all these things. But this is an important message, and I hope that we will have ears to both hear it and hearts to receive it, and then an attitude to act on it, because the home is where it all begins. Can I hear an amen? So today we do have a responsive reading. It's based on Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. It is on the insert in the bulletin. And do we have it? We do not have it on the screen today. So we're going to need to get it off of the insert in the bulletin. And it's this tan-colored piece of paper. Shall we stand together in honor of God's Word? I read the light print. I ask you to read the dark print. And I'll join you on that last verse. This is an encounter that Jesus had with some teachers of the law that final week there just before he gave his life for us. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your great love for us, such a great and deep love that you have spent thousands of years having your word recorded for us so that, as Bennett has been telling us today, we could be reminded of some things. And so I believe that you are here to remind us of some things here in these next two or three Sundays. And Lord, we just pray that as we are reminded of these things, we will be reminded of their importance, and we will be reminded of the importance of actually implementing these things and putting them into practice in our homes and in our personal lives. Now, Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it can divide between the most minute things, testing every motive in our hearts. And Lord, we just pray today that we will be open for you to work in us however you see fit through this, to show us individually what are the things that we should be doing and beginning to do, Lord, in response to your word to us. We thank you now, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Little book starts out this way. Let's begin with a question. When your son or daughter leaves your home someday, which one of the following would you want most for them? A, to be successful academically. B, to be successful athletically. C, to be successful socially. D, to be a person of faith and character. Personally, I would like to have another option. E, all of the above. But if you could only have one, which one would you choose? You most likely said that faith and character are most important. At least it seems like the right answer. Let me change the question a bit. Which of the following parenting issues gets the best of your time, effort, money, anxiety, and planning? A, academics. B, athletics. C, social life. D, faith and character development. If you had to rank them in order of the amount of time, money, and effort that goes into each one, what would come out on top? What would come out on the bottom? I ask myself these questions in my role as a father, and the answers were challenging. The thing that I claimed was most important to me, the faith and character development of my children, was often at the bottom of my actual priority list. So that's the introduction to the book. And we want to just, I'm not trying to follow the book point by point, but just give us an overview of some of the principles. Now, if you're one of those who likes to do these, and in this case, I would certainly encourage you to, so that you'll have a record. But if so, now would be the time to get it. Let's make a few observations based on some of these principles and what we've read today. You know, where we started today is an encounter that Jesus had with some people, And they were very, very knowledgeable in the Bible. And what they were actually trying to do was to trick him, to see if they could get him to come up with something and say, "See, we told you he was a false prophet all along." But of course, Jesus always knew the right answer. And so the question was basically, which is the greatest of all the commandments? Which is very similar to what we just read. If you could only pick one, if you could only pick one thing that has to do with the meaning of life and sums it all up, if there's just one thing you could accomplish in life and nothing else, what should that one thing be? And that is what this commandment embodies. So let's begin with observation number one. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love the Lord. Now, the world talks about we should love, but they don't talk about we should love the Lord. To love the Lord our God with all our heart. This expresses the whole purpose of man and explains the very reason for our existence. And you know, philosophers have struggled with this for years, but God's Word gives us the answer. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the answer. The whole meaning of life is summed up in loving Him, in loving the one that makes us. He made us in His image. He made us to have a relationship with Him, and not a cold and impersonal relationship, but a love relationship. And we often talk about the fact that God wants to be number one in our lives, don't we? That is a love issue. I would challenge you to make anything number one in your life that you don't love. Let me tell you something. If you make it number one in your life and you don't love it, you'll hate it. That's why some people hate church. Because they do it because they know it's the right thing to do. They're even making it a priority, but they don't love it. And we learn to hate it. We learn to dread it because we don't love it. And so it is a love issue. And our brother says here in another part of the book, he said, you know, and like Bennett was sharing, that was basically from this book here. Do you have to beg your children to eat ice cream? Do you have to beg them to play a video game if it's something that they like a lot? No, you don't. Because you don't have to remind people to do what they already love. And you don't have to force people to do what they already love. In fact, it's hard to keep them from it. And so we know that principle. So if we love the Lord with all of our heart, then all of the things that go with loving Him aren't going to be difficult. And we're not going to have to be constantly reminded of them. But if we have one value that it's important that be passed on to our children, it is this value right here. It is the most important of all. If our children grow up and they are successfully academically, economically, athletically, socially, and in all of those areas, and the Lord is way down at the bottom of their list of priorities, is that what we want? Not really. But if that's not what we want, then the process of them coming to really know and love the Lord has got to start right in the home. I think a lot of times we think that the church is the center of spiritual things. It's not. It's where God's people that already know Him and love Him and are washed in the blood and share a common faith come together for common worship. But the number one place of worship is the home, because that's where we live our lives out. And that's where His presence has to be in everything that we do. So it begins at home. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. This expresses the whole purpose of man and explains the very reason for our existence. We can be successful in all of the other areas, but if we don't have Jesus at the very center and if He isn't filling our lives, we're still going to be unfulfilled. And that's why you hear stories every day, and you hear them more and more and more now, of very, very successful executives and people like that, but they fall into adultery. They fall into alcoholism. They fall into prescription drug usage. They fall into all kinds of things because they're not fulfilled. If the Lord Jesus Christ is really at the center of my life, I am fulfilled. I may not have a dime to my name, but I'm fulfilled. Can I hear an amen? And that is why it is so important that our children begin to grasp this. And maybe many of you have heard the phrase, a lot of things are not taught, they're caught. And that applies here as well. But if the Lord Jesus and these things and God's Word and these things aren't really an integral part of the fabric of our actual home, if they're just relegated to Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, or whenever certain activities take place, then our children are going to grow up thinking, well, that's a church thing, if they don't see it being practiced in the home. Daddy opening that Bible and reading. Daddy and Mommy getting the children together and saying, how was your day? What was the best? What was the worst? And what can we pray with you about? And let's pray about it right now. And things of this nature. And when these things are done, then they begin to catch it. It's because it's become a fabric of the family and of the home. Number two. If knowing and loving God is our chief duty in life, it naturally follows that regardless of our success in other areas of life, our lives will have been lived largely in vain if we fail in this one area of greatest importance. Who would God consider a success? The person who made the most money on Wall Street? The person who started with just a minimum wage job and eventually worked their way to the top of the company? When we stand before the Lord, who is the Lord going to look at as a success? The person who does hold the record in the, 500-meter dash or the long jump or whatever? No, it's going to be the person that loved Him with all their heart. Remember David? God said, I've chosen a man after my own heart. He says to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go to the sons of Jesse and anoint for me a king from one of his sons. And seven of Jesse's sons passed before him. And each time Samuel's, this one's got to be him. He's tall, intelligent, sociable, good looking, all of this. And the Lord says, nope, not that one, not that one, not that one. And when he's all out, he says, do you have any more kids? Well, yeah, just one. But he's just real young, and he's out there watching the flocks, you know. He said, well, go get him, because we're not doing anything else here tonight until he comes here. And see, David loved the Lord. Was David perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But he loved the Lord with all of his heart, even from his youngest years. And this, if we're not successful in that area, we can be successful in many areas, and yet still, as God would count it, we're a failure. And I have some verses down there that you can read later, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Number three, loving God is largely a matter of the heart. That's pretty simple. And then I put, God will not have our undivided, unconditional love until He has our hearts. So what is it that we are after in the case of our children? And what is it that God is after in the case of our children? He is after their hearts. God isn't interested. Now, it's a good thing in its own place, but God isn't interested primarily in your child knowing all the books of the Bible and being able to quote 5,500 verses. I mean, that's important, and we need to do that, and that's part of the foundation we lay. But the Lord isn't looking. Yes, we should love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. The mind is included, but what's first? The heart. And so what the Lord is looking for is the hearts of our children. So as we seek to train our children in the things of the Lord, it's not just knowledge of the Bible. There are people out there today that can quote all kinds of Bible, and they're living absolutely like the devil. I mean, it's an absolute fact. Why is that? Because they've got a lot of head knowledge of the Bible, but the Lord doesn't have their heart. And so as we deal with our children, what we want is that their heart, and we're going to talk more about this next week, that their heart would be molded to love the Lord. That's where it all starts. Because if He's got my heart, He's got my soul. If He's got my heart, He's got my mind. If He doesn't have my heart, He doesn't really have any of it. And so my Bible knowledge becomes just exactly that, just Bible knowledge. It doesn't become anything that really transforms my life. But if He has my heart, then when I read the Scripture, then the Scripture begins to really make a difference in how I live and what I do and all of that. Why? Because it says in Proverbs, and Proverbs is a book written to young people that are in the formative stage of life. It says, "My son, give me thy heart." That's the first thing that the Lord wants. And that's the first thing that we're looking for our children, that their heart would belong to the Lord. Because believe me, if He's got their heart, He'll have the rest of them. And that's our job as parents, is to lead our children, to have a heart for the Lord ourselves, and to lead our children to have a heart for the Lord. Number four, in view of point three, as Christian parents, our chief job, with the Lord's help and by His grace, is to mold our children's hearts. It's our number one job as parents, as Christian parents. And then number five, the starting point of this awesome responsibility, an unparalleled opportunity, is our homes. Not the church. Our homes. It starts with mom and dad. It starts with mom and dad taking stock and saying, what are we doing in our home that fosters a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we doing in our home that fosters for our children to really love the Lord with all their heart? What are we doing in our home as mom and dad and with the children that fosters trust and faith in the Lord and a practical faith to trust Him for when I'm mistreated at school or when I have this test or my athletics aren't going that well or whatever it may be? What are we doing as mom and dad in our home in order that our children would be learning these things? Now, I put a thing here to think about, and this is under application. This is one that to take home and really think about it and just read it. Take a few minutes. A couple could do this over a cup of coffee, or you could do it individually. But these don't really have the answers, but they're just questions to get us thinking about, you know, where are we in regard to this? And I'll just close here in this little section here about where the expert of the law tested Jesus with the question, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So the question is posed to Jesus, if God calls us to do just one thing, what is it? Isn't it awesome that there is an actual answer to that question? There is a purpose to life. Jesus says that the reason you and I were created was so that we might love God with our whole being. Now, this is the paragraph I like so much. What would real life look like if we loved God with everything? We would talk with God in prayer throughout the day, speaking to Him and listening to what He says to us through His Word. We would sense a deep peace in our hearts, even when our lives seem to be falling apart. We would be drawn to reading our Bibles, more powerfully than we are drawn to hobbies or the TV. We would seek to be obedient to God in every area of our lives and hate our sin. Our hearts would be filled with compassion for those in need, and we would feel a sense of urgency to share the gospel with those who don't know Christ. Do these things describe your life? These things are not always true of me, but I wish they were. Is that your heart's desire today? Do you wish they were? They can be. They can be for you, and they can be for your children. God's given you a home, and it's like a stewardship. He's given you that home to run. So what are you doing with your home? Oh, and grandparents, you're not totally out of the picture. How many grandparents here have grandchildren that love to come over to grandpa and grandma's? So you still have also, you know, as extended family, see, and there, you can be using your home to impact your grandchildren, and in some cases, great-grandchildren for the Lord. And let's be looking for ways to do that, because where better than in the home?
If someone says, my child came to Jesus in the Sunday school class when they were 7, or they came to know the Lord Jesus, you know, when they were 5 or 6 in children's church, that is wonderful. But what if the parent could say, my child came to know the Lord Jesus in our home when mommy or daddy was explaining the love of Jesus to them? What could take the place of that? So that just gives us a little idea right there of why it's the home. The Lord wants home to be where it really starts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for families. You designed the family for a mom and a dad and then some children that would all love you with all of their hearts, their soul, their mind, their strength, and that would then in turn form new families that would also love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, today we live in a fractured society. Classes of people are against each other, and right within the homes, very often the homes themselves are fractured. Lord, I pray for our homes today. I pray for the homes of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. And only you know what happens inside of each home. Only you know whether there is love there or whether there is discord and conflict. Only you know whether you are the center of that home or whether there are things going on in that home that aren't even godly, let alone things that are going to bring the children to really know you better and love you more. So, Lord, I pray that you will be dealing in the hearts of parents and grandparents, that we would examine ourselves not only as church-going people, but as people that serve you every day, and whether our homes are a place where Jesus would be comfortable coming in and sitting down and having a cup of coffee and interacting with our children. Lord, that you would make us those kinds of parents, because that's what is needed. I pray that you will bring healing to our homes. And I believe that when parents take the initiative in this area to love you with all their hearts and to love each other, and then to include the children in activities that center on you, that you bring healing just through that. So, Lord, I just pray today, Lord, work in our homes. Work in our homes for your honor and glory, so that when our children come here, they'll realize this is just the larger gathering of a bunch of families that love you. And we're going to learn about Jesus here too, but the main place we learn about Jesus is at home. Lord, that's our heart's desire, that's our prayer, and that's what I'm asking that you might do and work in our families in the months ahead. I know it's hard to change patterns and things like that, But Lord, with your help, we can do it. And when we do, oh, our homes are going to be blessed, and we're going to see you begin to work in ways we haven't ever seen you work before. Lay these things on our hearts and give us open hearts to truly consider them and take action because they're so important to you. Father, we thank you now. And as we come here to this table in a few minutes, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the blood that he shed. It's all about his body that was broken for us. And he did that so that our homes could be healed and so that our homes really could be places where your presence truly does dwell and that we could be reconciled to the Father. So, Lord, teach us the meaning of this as we partake of it. Now, Father, we thank you. We praise you. Guide us now in our worship time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a hymn here in just a minute, and during that time, you're free to come and share anything that's on your heart, a prayer request, a praise, or if you want to pray to receive the Lord Jesus, we always welcome that. And then right after that, we'll be taking communion.